And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Boris Johnson that all the land should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Tuke was Vice Chancellor of Cambridge and everyone went to be taxed in their own city. It struck me on reading tonight's gospel that one doesn't need to use a lot of imagination to appreciate that it doesn't sound like a promising start to the proclamation of good news. To be taxed, should be taxed, and so on occurs four times in the first four lines of this gospel reading. The word joy doesn't rear its unwelcome head until line 10. And even then, it's an angel insisting that despite how things look, it's actually good news. Most of this passage is pretty dire. An unmarried and then soon hastily married couple about to have a child of dubious paternal origins go off to Bethlehem, the back end of nowhere, somewhere like, I don't know, I suppose Oxford, and then cannot, for love nor money, find an hotel. And so they end up staying the night in the first century equivalent of a garage or underground car park, the stable. To the shepherds, this was all pretty exciting. Imagine, if you will, sitting in your office and the choir of King's College, no, a really good choir, the choir of John's College, come in and start singing the Gloria from Mozart's Mass in C minor. I think we'd all find that pretty thrilling once we'd gotten over the shock. But for Mary and for Joseph, it wasn't so glamorous. And I imagine they were quite confused when a load of shepherds turned up in their stable and started to bother them with cooing and sighing over their newborn. Poor old Mary must have been exhausted. But this is good news for us, and I'll just tell you one of the reasons why. It's good news because Christ comes to us in the mundane and the tedious, in the mess of the stable, in the trying and difficult points of our lives. God doesn't need us to have frantically swept the floors and polished the surfaces and made everything spotless, as I'm sure one or two of us have done recently in anticipation of welcoming guests this time of year. This is the time when we remember that God came to visit us in great humility, so that just as he took our nature upon him, we can, by grace, be welcomed into the nature of the Godhead ourselves, adopted into the family of God and made children and heirs of God, able to put on immortality and to overcome death and fear, for Christ gives life to all. The shepherds were minding their flocks, the tax collectors were raking in their fees, the innkeepers were rushing around making beds. Miles away, three loopy kings were following a star that they'd noticed, like Don Quixote charging at a windmill. And in Rome, Caesar Augustus was counting his gold. But far away from the centres of power, from the halls of empire, even from the temples and the synagogues, even there, in that lowly stable, Christ was born. And so we sing with those angels. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. To whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory and worship, world without end. Amen.